Well, good afternoon. I'm Jim Dubois, Chair of the University of Minnesota Alumni Association. I'd like to welcome you to the Regent Candidate Forum, co-sponsored by the UMAA and the Regent Candidate Advisory Council. The UMAA is an independent organization that focuses on connecting alumni with one another, supporting student success, and advancing our great university. The Minnesota State Legislature established the Regent Candidate Advisory Council in 1988. The council plays a critical role in the region selection process, ensuring that the most qualified candidates are recommended to the Joint Legislative Committee. This year, the RCAC interviewed 34 applications, interviewed 19 of the candidates, and has recommended the 10 people who are participating today in this forum. We'd like you to acknowledge the members of the RCAC for their outstanding efforts, and that is Ardell Brady, the chair, Senator Terry Bonnov, Bill Brady, Shelley Buck, Sonia Cairns, Margaret Carlson, Joseph Danowitz, Patrick Duncanson, Jim Erickson, Lois Josephson, Kathy Madsen, Bert Mackesy, Representative Bud Nornes, Representative Jean Pulowski, Harriet Porter, who is the Vice Chair, Senator Eric Pratt, Jerry Rogers, the Vice Chair, George Sundstrom, Paul Taylor, Daryl Thompson, and Dan Walter. Please join me in thanking these dedicated committee members. We also want to thank all of you, legislators and their designates, representatives from the university alumni community, university faculty and staff, and the general public for attending today's forum. This is an open forum, and we are offering everyone a chance to submit questions via the web and social media. We encourage audience members to write down any questions you may have, and UMA staff, you'll see their name badges, will be here to collect these cards during the latter part of the forum. Now it's my pleasure to introduce my co-moderator, Roshini Rajkumar, who will explain the format for the forum. Roshini is an alumna of the University of Minnesota Law School, communications coach, WCCO radio host, and a member of the UMAA's Board of Directors. Roshini?
Thanks, Jim, and thank you very much. On behalf of the University of Minnesota Alumni Association, you are very impressive people. As far as they say at the Oscars, you're winners already. So thank you for being here as candidates. This is a very rare moment. It is rare that there are five positions on an 11-member board that are open. So thank you for committing to this process. So here's how it's going to go. You will be timed. Mine and Jim are pretty much our biggest job is to get everyone out on time. So that means you will have a 60-second opening statement, and our lovely timers, Jerry and Sarah, will give you a 10-second heads up with this signal together. So when you see their hands go up, you know you have 10 seconds left. You can certainly stop before their hands go up, but that's your opening statement. And then each of you will get two questions. We'll go through one round of questions, starting with District 1, going through District 7, and each of the candidates in each district, the two of you in each district, will get the same question in Round 1 and then the same question in Round 2. They're completely randomly drawn from this official bowl here, and we'll just rotate back and forth in asking you those questions. At 5:15, we will stop with our prepared questions, and we have cards going around, and we really want to honor the people who are here and their participation and try to get to as many questions as we can from the audience, as well as several that have come in on social media. So we will do a fire round on that, and we'll explain that as we get to it. And then around 5:30, we will stop those questions, and you each have 30 seconds for a closing statement. So my only suggestion is these first 60 seconds as you do your opening statements, make them count. And we will start with Claire Bender.
Thank you very much. And good afternoon, everyone. And I apologize for those on my backside. Members of the Minnesota Legislature, University of Minnesota Alumni Association, Regents Candidate Advisory Council, and guests, what a wonderful occasion. My name is Claire Bender, and I was born in rural Nebraska many years ago. I have resided in Rochester, Minnesota since 1975. I believe that I am here because I will be an accountable and responsible University of Minnesota Board of Regent member. My professional and life experiences and accomplishments demonstrate my ability to do hard work, dedicated work, and completion. I believe in always trying to add value in what I do. My value equation is quality, service, safety over cost. I'm compassionate, fair, objective, hardworking, and I thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you, Claire.
Randy Simonson.
Hi, I'm Randy Simonson. I'm from Worthington, Minnesota. I've lived there about 30 years. Thank you for this opportunity. I believe you've seen my brief resume and my long-term association with the university, but what I didn't include is what I will now refer to as my personal story. Education gives hope to the hopeless. I wouldn't be sitting here today if it wasn't for the University of Minnesota and the encouragement that I received from there, the mentoring and the education that I had. I barely graduated high school. I graduated with a 1.7, tested well, got into college only to flunk out. My life was hopeless. I was going nowhere with that, and I had no hope. Certainly, I never would have thought of a PhD. I didn't even know what that was back then. Our state is filled with many young people in the same situation as I was. I believe that the University of Minnesota can have an even greater impact in ensuring we continue to be a state where the quality of life is good. Our mandate as a land-grant institution requires us to offer training in science, arts, and literature. I want to help maintain and grow that mission in our future. Thank you.
Michael Belzer.
My name is Michael Belzer, and I want to thank the Alumni Association for this opportunity to appear before you this afternoon. The university is at a critical juncture with a new president, an education-friendly governor, and 5 of 12 very talented leaders needing to be replaced on the Board of Regents. And so, therefore, the Board of Regents needs an experienced, competent, and substantial group of leaders. I've been a senior executive for over 25 years in a complex, culturally diverse organization with a budget of $850 million and 6,000 FTEs. I've been an active change agent and have a deep understanding of healthcare policy, finances during the most tumultuous period of healthcare change in our country. As a non-employed medical school dean, I'm not employed by the university, I have a close understanding of the academic health center, and according to Regent Chair Beeson, which is responsible for nearly 40% of the university budget. My work in healthcare equity, elimination of healthcare disparities, diversity and inclusion would position me well to bring that expertise to university governance. Thank you.
Paula Prahl.
Thank you for this opportunity. I'm Paula Prahl. I'm a 26-year resident of the state, graduate of Smith College and the Humphrey School at the U. I've been a longtime business leader, and I think I'll bring the following to the Board of Regents. One, a longstanding interest in higher ed, fueled by both my own experiences and my own passion. Two, experience with complex organizations and with complex issues, and an ability to translate that complexity into understandable and actionable strategies. Three, extensive management and governance experience and a strong network, which I will put to work to help the U expand its partnerships. Four, a keen understanding about the challenges, pitfalls, and ways to think about the right balance between physical and online presence. Five, the marketing communications experience needed to tell for the U to tell a more compelling story about itself, which is sorely needed. And six, the much-needed diversity. Thank you.
Rick Beeson.
Good afternoon. Thank you. My name is Rick Beeson. I've lived, worked, and volunteered in St. Paul for over 35 years in positions of leadership, including 20 years as the president of the community bank here in St. Paul. I'm sorry?
Just lean into the mic a little bit, Rick.
Thank you. After 6 years of highly engaged service and 18 months as chair of the Board of Regents of this, the fifth largest public research university in the United States, I have the experience and skill necessary to support the president as he enters a very crucial time in his tenure and to develop leadership in what is a very young Board of Regents. Being an effective regent requires balance, which I've demonstrated, optimistic but emotionally mature, analytical but with a good heart, strategic but with a problem-solving mentality. As regents, there are hundreds of issues which stakeholders expect us to be cognizant of, and we are. Our real job, however, is that of governance and the fiduciary responsibilities associated with protecting and advancing this great institution, its autonomy, values, and mission.
Time.
Thank you.
Tom Sorrell.
Thank you. It's truly an honor and a privilege to be here today. I'm very happy to be here. I'm not from Minnesota. I'm from upstate New York. That's why I talk funny. It's not a New York City accent. And came here in 2005. My wife and I call Minnesota our home state, and we intend to stay here for a while. Our son's a 12-year-old hockey player, so what better place to be? Most of you know me as the former MnDOT commissioner. I became MnDOT commissioner shortly after the bridge collapse. It was a tough, tough time, a tough, tough leadership challenge, but it was something that I absolutely grew from, and I became a better person because of it. And prior to that, I worked a lot around the country in many, many different positions with USDOT. I have a strong federal background, a strong state background, and a private sector background as well that I could bring to the table here. And looking at the future opportunities for the board, I think of globalization, I think of leadership, innovation, collaboration, and diversity.
Steve Laraway.
Thank you. My name is Steve Laraway. I'm from St. Cloud. My day job is Laraway Financial Advisors, a firm that I founded in 2000, which grew from zero assets to $250 million in assets. I also have been privileged to be active in the community, primarily in healthcare and youth service. Let me tell you a little bit about my experience in healthcare. I've been involved with the St. Cloud Hospital and CentraCare for the last 11 years. For 3 years, ending on last June 30th, I was chair of the St. Cloud Hospital. This is a large, complex organization. It's CentraCare has 6 hospitals, 17 clinics, 21 communities are served, 8,600 employees. This provided me wonderful lessons in governance, which I think I can bring to the Board of Regents. I'd appreciate your support.
Michael Hsu.
Hello. Thank you all for being here today, and thank you for the UMAA for putting this on. My U of M story starts with my father. He came over from mainland China in 1948 after winning a government scholarship, a Chinese government scholarship. He came over to study aerospace engineering, which he completed his master's degree in 1949, the same year the communists took over. So I'm not sure what happened to his scholarship, but he ended up staying and was able to complete his PhD in 1954, and he was given citizenship by the United States government. He was also a University of Minnesota professor, later was hired away to Iowa State University and started the graduate school in aerospace engineering. I'm a graduate of the College of Science and Engineering. I have a degree in electrical engineering. I've also studied business at the University of Chicago. I have a brother who's the vice president of research at Michigan State University, so I'm well-versed in and connected to higher education issues.
Tom Anderson.
I would first like to thank the University Alumni Association, the Region Candidate Advisory Council, and the legislature of the state of Minnesota for offering us this forum. When I was young, the word of the university in my community was taken like gospel. A university professor's opinion was valued, the extension educator in your classroom demanded respect, and the university physicians were known as the cream of the crop. Somewhere between then and now, however, the brass has been tarnished and the perception of the university had lessened along the way. However, in today's world, the university is turning around. They now have long-range planning. They have endorsed the idea of the grand challenge for the next 10 years. They have agreed to performance measures with the people of the state, and the governor has embraced the idea of increased funding for the medical school. These improvements make it an exciting time for the university and its relationship with the people of the state of Minnesota. You see, the University of Minnesota has made a big difference in my life, and I would like to be part of the renaissance as the board once again strives to make the people's university relevant in the lives of everyday Minnesotans. Thank you.
Mike Yost.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here. At least I think it is. I believe the University of Minnesota, I know it has. It's opened several doors, not only for myself, but members of my family. I continue to lean on the university for counsel and advice in my professional career. I'm a fourth-generation farmer in the windswept prairies of western Minnesota. I would bring to the Board of Regents extensive background in the food and agricultural sector, the largest industry in the state of Minnesota. Not only do I know production agriculture, I've been involved in everything from biofuels to food safety to food aid. Food's important to all of us in this state, in this nation, in this world. I would like to see the university emphasize it more. There's an economic aspect to it. There's a humanitarian aspect to it. I've seen it firsthand in food aid projects in Kenya. And there's a global strategic stability aspect to it. I think my background would bring an area of expertise to the board that's not there right now. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and now we'll get to the question part, and we'll start with the first question. We're drawing them randomly, and the first question will be posed to Claire Bender. Claire, your question is, what is your strategy for keeping graduated students engaged so they come back and support the university with their time, talent, and treasures?
Thank you. I believe foremostly it's communication, and with social opportunities, digital age, connectedness is the key. There's many different ways to be connected, human to human, human to device, and also keeping the alumni informed about not only activities but opportunities. And again, I would stress connectedness is the true key.
And next, Randy Simonson, do you need me to repeat the question?
No, I understand, and I agree with Dr. Bender. I would add to that the need for continued economic development and growth within our state, continue to support the Minnesota industry through education, through extension, through entrepreneur programs, technology to spawn new businesses in Minnesota. And so I would add that in addition. If we keep our people here, we're going to support our university here.
Okay, so these questions are for District 3. Michael Belzer, you will go first. Question is, how would you utilize the media to help tell the story of the university?
Well, I think the university has a very important and interesting story to tell, and I think that the story hasn't been delivered in a fashion that could promote the best features of the university. We've had those issues with our medical center, where I work at Hennepin County Medical Center, and we use a variety of media approaches from internet to social media, newsletters, and just constant communication to get out our message. Of course, the feature would be to determine what the message is we want to display and be on task. The other thing that I would also say would be helpful would be the successful promotion of intercollegiate athletics. I think that helps to bond alumni to the university and raises awareness of the work that we're doing on the campus.
Paula Prahl, would you like me to repeat the question?
No, I think I understand it. Thank you. I think the way that you are most successful with the media, no matter which media you're using, and I think we'd have to deploy all those strategies, is to make sure that your message is clear. And I think that's really what the university has to continue to work on. It's been pared to some degree in the last couple of years, but I think it needs to get crisper and cleaner and sharper, and then you can deploy it against all the media strategies that we might think. The way that people connect with the university is that they see something that ties them to it, whether it's their own experience there or an emotional tie to an experience they had elsewhere that they can translate to the university. And we need to find that emotional connection for people so that they connect to the message that we have with the university.
The next question is posed for the candidates in District 4. Rick Beeson, we'll start with you. The question is, what role do you believe regions can and should play in university outreach around the state?
Thank you for the question. I think the role that we play are varied. One is as leaders and symbols of leaders of the University of Minnesota. I've also taken the regions on the road the last 2 years. We have visited 24 sites from around the state. There is a yearning for the university to move around the state of Minnesota and make visits and be available to our outreach centers, to our large businesses, to our campuses, so I think the presence of the regents around the state is important. We connect with students from around the state, and being available and managing our schedules, I think, is hugely important. We're also available and accessible here with legislators who obviously have connections throughout the state of Minnesota.
And Tom Sorrell, Tom, would you like me to repeat the question?
No, I'm good. Thank you. I think Chair Beeson actually articulated the response to that very, very well. I might add to that response, I think the connection to the people that we serve at the university is really, really important. And to think of that connection very broadly, it's not just students, it's not just families of students, it's the business community. It's anybody that might touch us as a university system, in the university system. I think those connections are important. And I think using, you know, some marketing approaches to and some business approaches for market diversification and penetration are things that we can lead as regents. I also think we can be strong thought leaders for the university and in various areas that are of interest to us. And I think can become the champion of diversity. I think that's very, very important. I'm very passionate about diversity. I have been throughout my entire career. But I think that's something this university and the regents need to take on personally to be a champion and advocate for diversity.
The next question will go to the candidates from District 6. We'll start with Steve Laraway. What alternatives to state support and tuition do you recommend as sources of funding for the university?
I think that what we need to do is approach business, not only in the metro area, but in the outlying area as well, and form collaborations with them to help generate new products, royalties, et cetera. And I believe that if we do that, we build these relationships that we'll be able to generate this additional revenue and help with the funding.
Michael Hsu, would you like me to repeat the question?
Sure.
What alternatives to state support and tuition do you recommend as sources of funding for the university?
Well, I think Steve's answer was good. I think we need to work with the private sector to bring in more money for various purposes. The university is limited in terms of its current revenue streams. Obviously, I think we can find more if we look for them. And I think there's opportunities for fundraising to improve the size of our foundation, our endowment, which can help provide other resources down the road.
The next question is for the candidates in District 7, and Tom Anderson, we'll start with you. How would you characterize the university's relationship with the governor and legislature, and how would you advise to strengthen it?
I think it's getting better. You think of like last week, he advocated another $30 million for medical school. I think that's a great, great start. I think in yesterday's budget, he advocated some more money for it. How would we strengthen it? I think we have to work together. You know, one of the things I think we need is that we have to, and the grand challenge and the big plan, the long-range planning for the university, if we're going to be successful as regents, we want to move ahead and get long-range funding goals and long-range funding commitments. And that's difficult in a biennium-type legislature. But I think if we can set the path and set the course to give us stable funding as we move forward and stable tuitions as we move forward and have some goals 8-10 years ahead, I think that would be terrific.
And Mike Yost, would you like me to repeat the question?
Please.
The question is, how would you characterize the university's relationship with the governor and legislature, and how would you advise to strengthen it?
Well, I think the relationship with the legislature and the governor took a positive step with the hiring of President Kaler. To strengthen it, I think it's fairly simple. You have to work on accountability and transparency, because that equates to credibility, and everyone wants that.
Okay, a little technical issue. If your cell phone is close to the microphone, please either put it on the ground or away. We're having a little bit of static. All right, our next question. We'll go back to District 1, and this time we'll start with Randy Simonson. The question is, how do you believe an autonomous institution like the university can maintain autonomy in light of significant interdependence with the state?
That's a good question.
thank you. Jim and I, thank you.
I think, again, as a land-grant university, the state has a responsibility to help fund it. But I think the university also needs to look for ways to keep the cost of education down and find other sources of revenue, sources like research. I think we've sold our technology way too early. I think there's things that we can do to get more value out of that so that we can stay, keep our more autonomous and not depend so much on the state for that. I also think the good communications, as I've walked around and visited with legislators here, probably the one thing I've heard mostly as far as a problem is not enough communication with the regions and so on and so forth. So that, stop.
The hand is the 10 seconds. So.
Oh, okay. So I think that increased good communication is good. So.
All right. Claire Bender, would you like me to repeat that question?
No, thank you very much. I think it's about maintaining transparency within the last several years in visiting with several of the current and past regions. There has been an improvement in transparency between the Board of Regents and the state, if you will. I think the differentiating feature is the mission of the University of Minnesota, and everything that the Board of Regents does must always relate back to the mission and the vision of the institution. It has a role, it has a charge, and that is, if you will, the business of the university. And I also think it's about individual accountability on both sides of the issue. Yes, it's easy for overlap and loss of autonomy, but I think for the Board of Regents to, in their transparencies, to also be very clear on their business to the state. Thank you.
The next question is for the candidates in District 3, and we'll start with Paula Prowl. The question is, which other American universities should the U of M try to surpass or emulate, and why?
Oh, goodness. Well, all of them, of course. You know, I think there are a number of state, we can all think of the ones we want to beat in all sorts of sports, but there are a number of them that have reputations that maybe exceed their capabilities, and I'd love to be able to beat those. I think there are a number of private universities that we could compete with on par. I don't know whether I want to name any of them in particular. You know, we'd love to beat Harvard, and we'd love to beat Yale and Princeton and UCAL and Stanford and University of Michigan and all the ones that you can name. I mean, I think these universities are so big and so complex and so distributed in terms of the various kinds of ways we could compete that I think we ought to find a broad sector of universities and compete against them where it makes sense for us to think about it. But I do think we ought to just try to beat everybody.
And Michael Belzer, would you like me to repeat the question?
No, I think I understand it. obviously, locally, we think about Wisconsin and University of Michigan, but I think we need to adhere to what our basic value is as a land-grant university. The way that universities are rated is basically on research dollars. I know the medical schools are rated on research dollars and the number of the individuals that go into primary care, and I think we have a basic need as a board of regents and oversight to make sure the classroom education and basic education is adhered to and that we're forward-looking in our mission and how we educate our students. So, yes, it's important to be a well-recognized, highly ranked university, but that is merely research, and we have missions other than research that is very important for the oversight body of the regents to be sure is adhered to.
The next question will go to candidates from District 4, and we'll start with Tom Sorrell. The Board of Regents strives to focus its time on issues of greatest consequence to the university. What are those top issues?
That's a super question, and I think, you know, to address those kinds of issues, one of the things I would propose that we engage with as a regent is a strong risk management approach, and I think that's the only way you can address those kinds of things. And you take the things that are in the headlines today, the things that you're trying to keep out of the headlines, and ultimately you're managing your risk within the university system, and it leads to making the proper investments, leads to making an allocation of the proper resources in the university. And so I think there's a larger picture to this question, and that's how you manage risk effectively as a university. And I think that's a strong role of the Board of Regents can take on and look at those things that are out there today and project what risk those bring to the university and look at what's lagging behind us and what we need to address so that those don't become risks for us. So.
Rick Beeson, would you like me to repeat the question?
No, that's not necessary. I'm proud under my chairmanship that we completed a comprehensive strategic plan as well as an enterprise risk plan, and this next year and the years after we'll be focusing on the implementation. The priorities are what I've outlined in my application. Number one is cost management and financial stewardship of dollars. Number two is improvement of our medical school and clarity and development of our relationship with Fairview Health. And number three is enrollment strategy, dealing with diversity and the demographic changes coming forward. And I've worked to align the president's work plan, the board's work plan, and our other activities around those three priorities.
The next question is for the candidates in District 6, and Michael, we'll start with you. The question is, in the event of conflict between... I'm sorry. We already had that. So there must have been two. Our apologies. My apologies. In the event of a conflict between a governor and the university president, what role should the Board of Regents play?
Well, the Board of Regents needs to mediate that because the Board of Regents really works for the citizens of Minnesota who are appointed by the legislature. And the president of the university works for the board. So the board would have to step in at that point and to try to mediate the differences and see what can be done.
And Steve, would you like me to repeat the question?
I think I'm fine. I think what the region should do in that case is try to get a meeting with the governor and sit down and just determine what the issues are. And this would probably be one or two regents and the governor and maybe a representative and determine what the real issues are and try to work through those issues to determine what are the questions behind the questions, what are the problems, and work through it. If it ultimately can't be solved, if it remains a problem, then you have to take more difficult steps, perhaps looking at whether the president can continue.
All right, and our next question, and this is in now the regular round, we'll go to the candidates from District 7, and we'll start with Mike Yost. What suggestions do you have to help the university excel at both academics and athletics?
And athletics? Recruitment. I mean, it's about people. Everything I've been involved in my whole life, it's about getting good people to be in your business, to be in your trade association, to be in your agency. I don't need any more time.
Okay. All right. Tom Anderson, would you like me to repeat the question?
No, I think Mike is definitely right. It's academics, and it's, we have to get the people in academics and in athletics. In academics right now, we have 29,000 students that leave the state of Minnesota and 21,000 that come in. I'd like to see that get balanced a little better. I think some of our best students are leaving the state for whatever reasons. Cost may have something to do with it. I think in athletics, we've got a terrific new athletic director who is cutting the gap between the revenue they bring in and the expenses they pay. I think the last 2013 we brought in about $90 million in revenue and we spent $98 million. So it's only an $8 million gap. And of course I got a bill for seat licenses that will probably help cut that gap, and most of us did. So I think, again, it's about people and how we recruit them. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that ends the official questions for you all. We're going to give you 60 seconds, not to leave your seat, but just to take a deep breath, have some water, and we're going to move into sort of a fire round with questions from social media as well as from this great audience. Wonderful to get these, and we can still We can still have more. We are accepting them. We are actually ahead of time, so we can get to more of the questions from the audience. So give us 60 seconds, and we'll be right back. Okay, we're going to get back to our questions, and what we'll do is we'll go back and forth between the social media questions as well as people here, and you can still be asking these questions. I just ask that you write legibly so I can read your questions. And we will go back to District 1, and we'll kind of do it the same way, sort of a fire round, and I'll read the question, and then Claire and Randy will go the first question, and then we'll keep moving down the line like that. You have 60 seconds for your response. We'll start with Claire from District 1. What will you do to systematically increase the efforts of the recruitment and retention of students, faculty, and staff of color?
And what was the latter part? I'm sorry.
I'll read it over again.
Yeah.
What will you do to systematically increase the efforts of the recruitment and retention of students, faculty, and staff of color?
Of color, thank you very much. It's diversity in the broadest term, but we're speaking of color here, is establishing not a number goal, but a philosophical goal. And I think the goal of the University of Minnesota should be to represent the community in which we live. And that speaks to students, faculty, administration, etc.
Okay. Randy Simonson?
Yeah. I live in a community of 11,000 people. We have about 52 different dialects. The demographics are changing all over our state, as we know that, and I think the university has not only a responsibility, but an opportunity to reach those students through such things as the STEM program, broaden that out, through things like integration, collaboration, through students from the university reaching out to kids in high school in greater Minnesota and encouraging them, giving them a better direction, showing them a way to a better life, and just encouraging them in that way. So that's the thing that I'm very, and also extension. Extension has been very much involved in rural Minnesota and 4-H, but I think there's programs there through extension that we can reach this diverse culture and encourage them again to look at a better way of life.
The next question is for the candidates in District 3, and Michael Belzer, we'll start with you. The U is a land-grant institution. What does this mean, and how does it affect your responsibility for setting policy for the U, in particular, the U's responsibility to advance and support agriculture?
Well, that's not my sweet spot, but let me... I understand the concept of a land-grant university being a state resource. There's no question that the University of Minnesota is the university for the entire state, just not the Twin Cities. We certainly have an outreach to the rest of the state in that we have campuses in the Twin Cities, Crookston, Duluth, Morris, and Rochester. There are 16 regional extension offices, 21 research and outreach centers. We have the academic health center offices as well. I think the work that the regional extension offices do and the research outreach centers are a really good example of how we can move forward in that area. I have no particular issues with the direction that we've gone in terms of trying to make the university the premier research university and using other campuses to educate our students. But I think with our outreach efforts in place, we could just bolster those more.
And Paula Prawl, would you like me to repeat the question?
No, thank you. I think that, you know, the spirit of the Morrill Act was to spur the development of universities around the country, of which Minnesota is, University of Minnesota is one, and the spirit was to increase the opportunities for higher education for people all around the nation. And I think the spirit is broad. So the focus at that point of our economy was agriculture and an agrarian economy, so that we were very much focused on that. But I think the spirit's broader than that. And our mission is to provide educational opportunities for all the students in the state of Minnesota. Now, we may not deliver all of that mission through every single campus, but our important role is to promote both research and education that supports the state, and a large part of that in Minnesota still is agriculture, and that's what we would have to do.
This question came in on LinkedIn, and it is for the candidates of District 4. We'll start with Rick Beeson. How can we make it easier for students to graduate in 4 to 5 years? Often it is an impossibility to graduate in this time period because classes are not always available.
Thank you. There's a number of steps that we have taken and a number that we can continue to progress in. We have an electronic calendar for students to monitor their progress. The encouragement of college class while in high school through a number of means is also important. We've introduced 13 credit band motivation, so anything above 13 credits you can go free. We've doubled the 4 and 6 year graduation rates in the last 10 years, and I think we can improve on that further. It is a shared responsibility with students, so we expect them to come prepared and organized to make decisions and be decisive in their decisions.
All right. Tom Sorrell, do you want us to reread that question?
I'm good. You know, I think the university has made some strong inroads along those lines, and there's always more that can be done. And I think a key to that is continue to look at all the alternatives that are out there and the way we deliver our education to people that need alternatives. And there are many models out there, and I know we've incorporated some of those into the university, but I think we need to explore what those are and make sure that all of our students have the options. And with these options, that'll give them time and the ability to tailor their education to what their values are and what their needs are. I also think we need to really make sure we're working well with our feeder systems, and so that when students come into the university, whether it's high school or two-year school, they need to have the strong background that allows them to come into the university system, that allows them to move quickly through the system and not take a step back of a year or two to allow them to graduate.
And the next question comes from a member of our audience, and this is for the candidates in District 6. And Steve Laraway, will start with you. The level of state investment has declined dramatically over the past 2 decades. In an era of competition for scarce general fund dollars, the U of M has been unable to make the political case. How will you change this?
Well, that's a very difficult question, obviously. I think you have to develop a value proposition, and that value proposition should be you're getting a high class education here for the dollars that you spend, and if you invest in it today, you're going to get a return in the future. And so I'd focus on that the dollars spent, the investment that you make, is going to pay off in the long run, perhaps in the form of, you know, keeping those teachers that do the research and generate the grants, or keeping more students in the area, or, you know, improving our quality of life. So I think I'd make that sort of argument.
And Michael Hsu, would you like me to repeat the question?
No, I got it. I think the most important thing is figuring out what the value proposition is. I think the president of the university has made the argument that for every dollar spent by the state receives $13.2 in return. So that's not 13.2%. That's 13.2 times the value of a dollar. And I think if that's correct, the state should be putting in more money into the education system for higher ed, specifically at the University of Minnesota. There should be more information gathered to determine whether or not that's an accurate number. Maybe it's higher, maybe it's lower. It's still a great investment. I think Steve would agree that it's a fabulous investment in return. And other than that, I think communications is a big factor. I think relationships with legislators is important.
This question is coming in from the audience, specifically for District 7, so it works out. We'll start with Tom Anderson. What is your position on the transparency of GMO labeling?
GMO labeling is a food processing or food, and I think the labeling should be as transparent, if anything, as we have. I mean, that's a pretty simple answer. It should be as transparent as we can have it.
Okay. Mike Yost.
The GMO controversy is not a food safety issue. It's a consumer choice issue. I think any type of labeling should be done at the federal level. It's going to be counterproductive and extraordinarily expensive for consumers if we do it state by state.
The next question comes from a member of our audience and is for the candidates in District 1. And Randy Simonson, will start with you. Shared governance of public universities requires partnerships between many groups, one of which is faculty. How would you work with the faculty to govern the university?
Well, again, the faculty's responsibility is primarily teaching and research, and I would certainly encourage them in that way. Again, good communication with the administration. Getting their opinions. I like to work. I have a rock in my office that says, together everyone achieves more, team. And so working in a team environment would be very important to me in that same situation. So I guess that's the way I'd answer that question.
And Claire Bender, would you like me to repeat the question?
No, thank you very much. And I agree with Randy. It's about communication. I think the purpose of the Faculty Senate is working through teams, through groups. They have their leadership. The faculty are the best and the brightest. They're wise, and you have to listen to them. When you talk about shared governance, is shared communication, so it's a two-way street. And I think having the open forums, open dialogue, sometimes difficult debates needs to occur, and I believe in consensus building type of decision making, and I think ultimately the answers are somewhere usually in the middle. Thank you.
This question is from our audience, specifically for District 3, and we'll start with Paula Prahl. How can the Board of Regents strengthen the support that the U receives from the business community?
I think, much like we've just heard from about how we would deal with faculty, it is about communication, but it's also about active listening and on both sides. And I think one of the things we need to do is make sure that we're clear about our mission and our vision and our strategies, and then understand with the business community what their goals are. We all have a collective interest in the economic viability of the state, and our purpose is to help support that in every way we can. There are many times that businesses have ideas that they have no place to go with. University ought to be a place for those ideas to go and to percolate in any way they can. There are many times that the university has ideas that they can't find any place to go with, or there are students who have ideas or researchers who have ideas who can't go, and we need to find forum that bring those people together and bring those ideas together and allow the business community to come to the front as a supporter of the university.
Michael Belzer, would you like me to read the question?
No, I think I understand it. We have an Office of Economic Development at the university. There's the Minnesota Discovery Research Innovation the university as well. If the literature is correct, the university contributes $8.6 billion of a total impact to the state, and alumni have founded 10,000 companies, 500,000 jobs, $100 billion worth of revenue. It ought to be a very, very compelling case for business to partner with the university, and with our Economic Development Office, it's the ideal forum to begin that.
This next question comes to us from LinkedIn, and this is for the candidates in District 4. And Tom Sorrell, we'll start with you first. The question is this: speaking of recruitment, can anything be done to make the university a place where its own employees are considered more for open job positions versus outsiders?
That's an excellent question. In cases like that, I think it's important to draw upon the people around you to get feedback on why that situation exists and how we can take a hard look at that and then figure out how we got to that point and how we move to the future. And if I were to take a look at that as a region, and I think as a region board, I think we got to get a lot of input on why that is occurring. And then where it makes sense to break that down, break those barriers down, we do that. Where it makes sense to look at outside people for certain positions, we do that as well. But I think it's worthy of a hard look, and I don't have the answers to that here today. But I think it's something, if it's of concern, that's something the Board of Regents should tackle and take a collaborative look at why that exists and take a collaborative look at the answers and responses to it.
And Rick Beeson, would you like me to repeat the question?
No, that's not necessary. The center of any high-functioning organization is of course, people. And keeping our existing employees engaged and satisfied, that includes having a ladder up through which they can proceed. The centerpiece of our operational excellence program, under which we are wringing out $90 million of costs, is a reformed HR department. There are thousands of extraneous job titles, and it's a labyrinth for employees to navigate their way as they think about their careers. So we're focused on that, it's just an absolute priority in this people business.
This next question is for the candidates from District 6. And we'll start with Michael Hsu. This is coming in from Twitter, handle @shortpants. Do you believe the state invests enough in the U, and if not, what will you do to advocate for greater investment?
Well, it's kind of like the last question I answered, I think. I think we could always use more investment, but I think we also have to be very efficient about how we use that money. I think the administrative cost issue has been largely addressed, although, you know, it's not clear whether or not there are still opportunities to reduce administrative costs. It goes back to my concerns about tuition being too high and maybe the in-state tuition being too high as opposed to the out-of-state tuition question. But I think, again, we have to do a better job of communicating the value that the university produces for the state of Minnesota. It is our greatest asset and our biggest economic engine.
Steve Larrabee, would you like me to repeat the question?
No, I'm fine. Well, I'm very thankful that the state invests what it does. I mean, we don't have really too many contributors that contribute that level, $600 million. But I think it boils down to, if you can make a case that if you invest more money, if you bring more money to us, that we can turn that around and create economic development in other areas, I think that's a good case to make, and that's what we would have to do. And I think it can be done, but it's not easy.
The next question is for candidates in District 7. It comes from a member of our audience, and we'll start with Mike Yost. Not including tuition increases or additional state funding, what can the U of M do within their operations to manage costs and keep tuition affordable? And the questioner says, please be specific.
Well, it's a bit hard to be specific when you don't have intimate knowledge of the university and how it functions. But there's been a lot of discussion in these halls about reduced administrative costs. I think that's one area seemingly we can do that. Also, we've got to continue to look at technology. How can we incorporate technology in the university to reduce costs and enhance its final product, so to speak? Those are two places that I would look at. And once again, it's, you know, till you get there and understand things, it's hard to make specific recommendations.
And Tom Anderson, would you like me to repeat the question?
No, I think I got it. I think 35 years in business has taught me you can make more margin if you enhance revenues and contain the cost. Specifically in enhancing revenues for the university, the Venture Center, I think we can share our intellectual property patents with ingenious kids in rural Minnesota who might be able to invent ways to use those technology, start companies out there. We get royalties at the University of Minnesota from that. We took in $40 million last year. I think philanthropy, I think last year we brought in $282 million, which sounds like a lot. We had 75,000 donors. That's only 1.3% of Minnesotans. If you can move that needle from 1.3 to 2%, you're going to bring in another $140 million. I think in healthcare, Mayo Clinic collects 80% of what it bills. The University of Minnesota Fairview collects 55%. If we move that needle 5%, we can make another $70 million. So there's $300 million right there.
All right. Thank you very much. That ends our actual questions. We'll give you 60 seconds to collect your thoughts. You will have 30 seconds for a closing statement. And we're going to twist it up a little. We're going to go in alphabetical order, starting with Tom Anderson.
And before anyone runs out, we want to invite everyone here to a reception in room 645. The elevators are located just outside of this room, and room 645 is directly across from the elevators on the sixth floor. So we'll see you there.
All right, let's start with our closing statements. You have 30 seconds, and our lovely timers will give you that 10-second hand as your little warning 10 seconds. Make it count. Thanks so much for being here. Tom Anderson.
I just want to take the public forum to thank the many legislators for their kindnesses during my visits to their offices. Not of one of you was there abrupt or rude to me, and you always had time for this region candidate from the small town in God's country in northwestern Minnesota. I want to also give thanks to the wonderful legislative assistants who have helped me navigate the way. You guys and ladies were incredible. I believe I may have met a couple future governors among them in my time here. In addition to the young assistants, I met first-term state representatives who are only 21 and 27 years old.
Sorry, time.
Okay.
Rick Beeson.
30 seconds.
Thank you. Thanks very much, UMAA. For this forum. It's a great honor to serve in this position, one I've taken very seriously. The university has improved by any measure over the past 6 years, but we can do a great deal more, and I have the energy and skill to do that. My predecessor, David Metzen, gave me probably the best advice when I was elected in 2009. He said, kid, I was younger then, don't screw this up, and remember to leave the campfire cleaner than you found it.
Yeah. Michael Belzer.
If selected as a regent, I will be forward-thinking, anticipatory, visionary, and look at where we're going as opposed to being reactive and status quo. I'll employ data, accountability, metrics, and benchmarks, not impression and intuition. And if selected as a regent, I will demonstrate administrative leader courage to challenge opinions and raise the bar for the University of Minnesota governance.
Claire Bender.
Thank you again for this opportunity this evening. I believe my record of servant leadership with a consensus-building decision-making style and having strong people skills makes me a competitive candidate for Congressional District Number 1. I want to also wish all of the candidates the very best in their pursuit of the next steps. Thank you again.
Michael Hsu.
I'm concerned about the future of the university, especially as it relates to tuition and costs. I believe tuition should go down if possible. Would be interested in looking at that. I'm a science and engineering graduate and very, very interested in technology. I would bring diversity to the board in many ways, and I promise to work with all of you.
You still have a few seconds.
Oh, to improve the value of the university to all Minnesotans.
Boy, we're tough here.
Yeah.
Steve Laraway.
Thank you. It's a real honor to be here in this venue with nine other candidates that are as passionate about the University of Minnesota as I am. One skill that I think that I would bring, and I haven't had a chance to really use this because we've been all telling our story, but it's listening to understand. Listening, asking the right questions, and coming up with the solution or ideas. That's a skill I'd utilize as a regent.
Paula Prahl.
Thank you, and thanks for this forum. If I'm selected, I will be a dedicated volunteer for the university, adding the expertise I have to enhance the functioning and the reputation of the U. I'm a disciplined budget hawk, a creative problem solver, an energetic leader, and I will ask the tough questions, challenge ideas, and seek to support excellence at the U. I believe U is strong in many ways and needs to improve in many ways, and I'll be the one that makes that happen. I know how to make the necessary trade-offs required to focus and ensure that the U works for all of Minnesota. I stand ready, and I'm very excited for the opportunity. Thanks.
Randy Simonson.
Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Through education, healthy mind, healthy body, research, economic development, and outreach, we can build on the fact that we truly live in the land of opportunity. These are three areas of focus for the university. I would like to help maintain that. Looking at who we graduate, what can they actually do, and how they're prepared to face the challenges of the future.
Tom Sorrell.
Thank you. It's great to be here. I want to highlight the fact that my past background in diversity initiatives is something that I'd really love to bring to the table as a regent, and my success with diversity initiatives I think could really improve what's happening at the university. I think my federal, state, and private sector background is fairly unique, and I think my engineering background and with STEM programs is something that this board can benefit from as we look at capital investment programs and the technical programs at the U that we can support.
Mike Yost.
I believe in the University of Minnesota, its heritage and its traditions. The University of Minnesota is and should be the flagship institution for higher education in the state of Minnesota. I believe in the mission of the land-grant university system. As a region, I would strive for accountability and transparency because that equals credibility, as I said before.
Let's have a round of applause for all of the region candidates. On behalf of the UMAA and the RCAC, thanks to all of you for attending the forum, and we'll see you at the reception.
Thank you.